This podcast is brought to you by Church of Living Waters. Find out more information at colw.info. We hope you enjoy this week's message.
If you have your Bibles, let's turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 12. I believe that God is going to speak today amongst us. We're going to be praying over people here at the end of the service. I don't have a long message today, but I seem sometimes to get long if I don't hear a lot of amens or, you know, through my notes really quick. And if I feel that I just have to kind of focus a while, it could take a while. I also want to tell you I had a great, huge breakfast this morning, and I'm not even hungry. Yeah, some of you are in trouble because stomach pain and growling is usually the clock. I don't wear a watch, you know, but my stomach's so accustomed to eating at noon, it will be growling. Don't worry. Let me tell you, with the message last week and this message, we're speaking about the baptism of the Holy Spirit. This is a message that the enemy has tried to take. The enemy's tried to bring this into thoughts of this is not for us in this hour. This was for them. This is something that I don't need. If you go into churches in this church, even in this church of 40 years of being full and free and full of the Holy Spirit, there's people sitting in this room today that have not received the baptism of the Holy Spirit and maybe even think it's not for them. And I'm okay with that. I'm not pressing you or pushing you out. My objective in speaking the last Sunday and this Sunday is to help hungry believers receive the Holy Spirit. Amen? To help hungry believers receive the baptism of power. The reason that we receive the baptism of the Holy Spirit is because we get so hungry. You know what? I'm praying for a great spiritual hunger to come over the body of Christ. A spiritual hunger that we're so ready to receive that we're here before the doors get open. A spiritual hunger that comes on us, that we're so prepared and ready that we'll do anything and everything to get here. A spiritual hunger that's going to come. And the baptism of the Holy Spirit is received. And one of the greatest ways it's received is us being hungry. I said this last week. My mom and dad were on an altar in our room, in a home that we had. I was a young boy, and I've never seen two people as hungry as they were. Hungry for something. I didn't know as a kid what they were looking for, but they were desperately seeking God. As much, if so much, seeking Him that they were on an altar on Friday night saying, God, we need you. God, come and fill this place. Come and shake us. As a boy, I'm thinking, goodness, it's Friday night wrestling. Now I'm telling you how old I was, how old I am. But Friday night wrestling got turned off then when mom and dad were so hungry. And as I said, that there was something that came into our home one evening that my mom started speaking with tongues. The Holy Spirit filled her with the evidence of tongues. And I have to say, my life on that day at 5 years old changed forever. A few months later, my dad received the baptism of the Holy Spirit with evidence of speaking in tongues. Right after that, and Peggy and Kenny are my witnesses, right after that, God called them into full-time ministry. It was like, linger and wait, Gene and Betty Jo, until you receive the power from Most High. And when you receive that power and it comes and shakes you and shakes your home. See, we're not waiting for it to come. It's already come. We're waiting to receive it. We're waiting to have a hunger for it. We're waiting to say it's for me. And see, they were hungry. They didn't know really what they were hungry for, but they were hungry for more. To be honest with you, I am hungry for more right now. If we find ourselves that we're content, I am not content. I'm not content with where we are. I'm hungry. And I'm not here saying I'm not content with people. I love each and every one of you. But there are people that are all around us that are broken, that are dying, and that if something doesn't happen, they're going to spend eternity in hell. I can't be content. I'm hungry, waiting like my mom and dad, asking for God to come, come, Holy Spirit, come and move. Fell down like fire that day. Let's look in the scriptures. Last week we went through all of Acts, and we saw how many times in Acts where the Holy Spirit was prayed over, where people got saved, and they received baptism in water. And the next thing that the disciples really, really quickly went into was the baptism of fire. Amen? Baptism of the Holy Spirit. It was not something that they received when they received Christ. Yes, we received Christ. We received the Godhead, the Trinity. But there was something in our spirits that was waiting for a baptism of fire. The word says in the Gospels, every Gospel, John the Baptist saying, I've come to baptize you in water, but just here in a minute, someone's going to come and they're going to baptize you with fire. Doesn't that sound cool? It just sounds great. I love being baptized in water. It was one of the greatest experiences of my life. I remember my dad baptizing me and me coming up knowing that I'm a new person. That old man is dead in the water. We are going to have a water baptism pretty soon. I was just thinking today about just filling up the tank today. Come on. I was thinking, well, I don't know if I can bring my clothes. They'll be big enough for everybody. We'll bring some belts and stuff. But just having this thing of if you want to be baptized, let's go on out to the water right now. Because it did so much to me in my life. It changed my life. If the enemy tries to come in my life anytime now, I can say, no, that's my old man, and that old man is dead. I remember where I buried him. I'm a new person in him. So we have to clearly understand last week's message that John came and baptized in water. He also baptized Jesus, and he prophetically spoke that there will be someone coming, Jesus, that will baptize us in fire. Jesus is speaking to his disciples, and he's telling them that I'm going to go away from you, that I'm going to die on a cross. He's not saying I'm going to die on a cross, but that's what he knows he's going to do in the Last Supper. But someone's going to come to you that's greater in this hour than I will ever be. Wow, it's amazing. I mean, I could just see Jesus. No, don't leave us. Jesus went to heaven. He ascended to heaven. And he said, now the last instructions he gave was to go and to tarry and to wait for this baptism of fire. Amen? You know how you receive the baptism of the Holy Spirit? You're hungry. You receive it by faith. Here in a minute, if you've never received it, we're going to pray for you. You're going to walk down these aisles and you're going to know that you're going to know that you're going to know that you're going to receive it. You know why? Because the scriptures say it. You're going to have full faith that you're going to come up and you're going to receive the evidence of speaking in tongues, and power is going to fill your life. My dad would speak about a word called dunamis. Anybody ever heard him preach that message? I've listened and listened and listened to that message. What dunamis power in the Greek is, it's a power like dynamite. Come on. Woo. Dynamite. That's what the power of the Holy Spirit is. When the evidence of speaking in tongues, it's like dynamite has just happened on the inside of me. And I'm telling you, you cannot stop dynamite. It can go in a situation where no one is prepared, no one's ready, no one wants Jesus, and dynamite can come up from the inside and every person in that room can be saved. 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 1 through 7. I wanted to show today the differences. There's two things that we're going to speak about. Last week we focused on the baptism of the Holy Spirit with evidence of tongues. But there's two purposes of tongues, and that's what I wanted to show you today. There's a lot of questions in 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 30. And you don't have to turn there. We're going to go to that in a minute. But the question is this. Paul says, do all speak with tongues? Question mark. If you don't have the baptism of the Holy Spirit and you've been hungry for it, you've probably been altered and you probably have been shown these scriptures and you probably have thought, well, I don't know that for sure. I'm here to show you today. The Bible sets forth two distinct functions of speaking in tongues. We had demonstrated in us today, in our service, one of the functions of someone giving a gift of tongues. And right after that, it was then prophetically interpreted. That was in front of us today. God wanted to do that today, to show us. First is the initial physical evidence of the baptism of the Holy Spirit, as demonstrated last week as we showed you in the book of Acts. It continues in the life of a Spirit-filled believer as prayer, privilege, and means of spiritual growth. So when we receive the baptism of the Holy Spirit, all of us, everyone that receives tongues. I know that for some of you today, this is teaching, and I want to open up the Word, but this message should not be being preached. This message should not be thinking that it's for old times. This message should be on the forefront of every church, because here in the last days, He's going to pour out His Spirit on all flesh. And His sons and His daughters will prophesy. I believe this, that speaking in tongues was the greatest thing that has ever happened to me in my life. The infilling of the Holy Spirit. It was not easy for me to receive. The reason why it was not easy for me to receive, even though it was a free gift, even though it was easy, is because my mind made it more difficult. It made it very difficult to receive. Because it was something I couldn't think of, something I couldn't interpret, something I couldn't put my hands on. And I'm here to tell you, if God Almighty can say, light be, and light is still going on today, He knows a little bit more than me. There's some things going on that made that light be that I can't comprehend. As He created man and formed him and blew spirit breath in him, and how we can continue to have men and children. And He did it one time, and it just continues, and it never stops until He says stop. He created the sun, and today, the sun is on fire still. And it will be on fire until He says stop. Amen. He's a mighty God. We can't comprehend this God and our own minds and our own thoughts. So we have to just read. We have to get understanding from the Holy Spirit, and we have to believe. Amen? Amen. We have a thing in our society that we want to make sure it's the way we look, the way we talk. We want to make sure that other people, you know, when something happens, the first thing that we do is we look to see who saw. I remember my dad, first time playing golf, and I wanted him to go with me so bad. You know, my dad was a great athlete, and golf was something that he never did. And the first hole, he's there, and there's these golfers right behind us. And I wanted to go ahead and tell him, y'all go ahead and go, because y'all are going to be messing with us the whole time, you know. Go ahead and go in front of us. But my dad, he gets ready, and, you know, he's feeling that pressure of those people watching. And he takes that golf club, and he swings it, and the golf club goes flying. The golf ball's still sitting on that tee. There wasn't even enough wind to get the golf ball off of it. And, boy, he about died looking back, who's watching. You know, what do you do at that point? I guess you might just say, my arm. So if we always get in a situation that, what are people going to think? What are they going to think if I come up today and I receive those tongues? First of all, what? I'm crazy. See, the church has been labeled as crazy in this, and it's the Word of God. It's what the Word of God says. If we just read the Word of God and we're not taking out anything or we're not trying to put anything to it, this is what the Word says. Receive fire of the Holy Spirit with the evidence of speaking in tongues. It was demonstrated all through the Word. Amen. Two things. Now, all Christians are used in these gifts through every Spirit-filled believer. Let's look at it. 1 Corinthians 12, verse 1. Now, concerning spiritual gifts, brethren, this is Paul speaking. I don't want you to be ignorant. We are a group of people, not so much Church Living Waters. We're a group of people going to be His bride, and many of us are ignorant of the spiritual gifts that He has for us. Because many of us have closed the book on that, and we said it's not for us, and God is saying it's for this hour more than any other hour. I don't want you to be ignorant of this. You know that they were Gentiles carried away to these idols, however you were led. Therefore, I make known to you that no one speaking by the Spirit of God calls Jesus accursed, and no one can say that Jesus is Lord except by the Holy Spirit. Amen. There are diversities of gifts, but the same Spirit. Yep. There are differences of ministries, but the same Lord. And there are diversities of activities, but it's the same God who works all in all. Now, verse 7 says, but the manifestations of the Spirit is given to each one, and listen what it's for the profit of all, to profit all. Today, and you know, Peggy's my aunt. I love her so much. My mom's sister. And I don't want to put her on the spot, but she's okay. She knows me. I love her. Today, that gift that came out of her was a gift of tongues. Not like a gift of the Holy Spirit falling on us and we speaking in tongues, that's a prayer language. This was a gift, as in Corinthians, a spiritual gift with the evidence of a prophetic word right after it. Interpretation. Many times, someone that gives that type of gift also gives the interpretation, but many times they don't. Many times that gift comes and there's a lingering and a waiting for then the interpretation. Come on. I'm speaking this because we have to be ready, church. We're going to move into something next week that's going to get us rolling. Amen. God has been speaking to me a while about bringing Dale Gentry a gift of a prophet here. And he's been lining me up and telling me the words to speak to you to prepare us and to receive the prophetic voice. Amen. So are you ready? You need to know about spiritual gifts. All of us need to know, but definitely if you're a Christian, if you believe Jesus is your Lord and you want to love him and to follow him in your church and to be healthy, attractive, growing group of people, showing God's love in your community, the spiritual gifts are very needed in this hour. I would not have you be ignorant, Paul says, of spiritual gifts. Is the word of God to the church at Corinth. It's the word of God to the church of Living Waters. It's the word of God to his bride. Don't be ignorant to the gifts, the spiritual gifts that I have given you. To be able to be used, to edify, to love, and to encourage. It's for all. The gift that Peggy gave today through God, the Holy Spirit, it was for all of us to receive. As people come up here, and sometimes you might think, well, goodness, Blake and Crystal, they're just going so quick. That's so good. Oh, listen to her voice. Oh, it's amazing. And then someone comes and gets a microphone, and they quieten down, and they speak, and you're thinking, I want Blake and Crystal. Come on. But we have to yield to the Spirit moving amongst us. See, praise God. The opening up of worship opens up. It ascends and he descends on us. We have to know that. We ascend our love to him and he ascends his love back. And always it's through manifestations of his Spirit. And right now, praise God, we have people that are coming up hearing from God through scriptures or hearing from God a word. But as we continue, there's different functions of the Holy Spirit. As we receive all of them, you're not going to believe what's going to happen in this place. We are seeing people get healed right now. But what about an hour, a time that we're going to see everybody that comes into this room that's needing healing 100% receive healing? That's what God wants. God wants that. He wants his people to be prepared to allow him to be able to move. Isn't that something that we have to allow God Almighty to move? Again, God formed us, breathed breath in us, spoke light, and light was. He knows everything, is everything, was everything. Everything created for him is his, and it's all created for good in him through Jesus. Everything created somehow, some way shows Jesus in it. He's amazing. But we have to give a yielding to him. Do you know why? Some of us think this. Why did he have to put that tree in the garden? If that one tree wasn't there, everything would be okay. I've thought that. My children have asked me that. He had to put that one tree in the garden because he really wanted to see and wanted to receive our love to him. If that one tree wasn't there, we would then not have a choice to love him or not to love him. See, we have to walk around that tree and say, I'm walking around it, God, because I love you. If the tree was never there, we would just be robots. We would just be puppets. I love you, God. I love you, God. And there would be nothing coming out of our hearts saying, God, I love you. Amen? Those trees are everywhere in our world today. I drove past something the other day, and my kid asked me, what does Sin City mean? And I'm like, goodness, I don't know what it means, but we're not going there. Sin City. Come to Sin City. Whew. Ignorance of spiritual gifts may be a major cause of much of the discouragement, insecurity, frustrations, and guilt that plagues many Christians and limits their effectiveness by God, for God. The gifts of the Spirit are God's gifts for you to manifest the fullness of God to our fellowship and to our community. The manifestations of the Spirit is given to every man, amen, to each one, to everyone that wants to receive, it's given for the profit of all, to profit all of us. God has given the church gifting in three main areas. I'm going to go quickly through this, but this will be some stuff that we'll be teaching the next few months. Motivational, a lot of you have been given motivational tests or motivational things. I know what I'm motivated in. Anybody? Wow, three of us. God wants us to understand our motivational gifts. My motivational gift, praise God for my kids, is grace and mercy. It's a motivational gift that I stand on, that I have. All of us should have grace and mercy, but there's something in me that's grace and mercy. Now, my wife's motivational gift is truth. Yeah. So, you know, grace, mercy, truth. Our kids don't have a chance. Praise God. We have to understand motivational gifts. As we understand what God has given us, then we can be able to use confidently the things that he's given us. It doesn't mean that I don't have truth in me, so I can go out and do all kinds of stuff and be untruthful. It means that I'm motivated by grace and mercy, but truth is mine because it's God's. Amen? So motivational, inspirational, and directional. Each part of God's Godhead gives these. Each part of the Godhead gives. The motivational gifts are given from God the Father. The inspirational gifts are given by God, the Holy Spirit, and the directional gifts are given by God, the Son of Jesus. We are choosing to begin with the inspirational gifts as I spoke, 1 Corinthians. There is a tendency in the body of Christ to make all of these gifts of God natural men's ability. I'm here to tell you that none of these gifts from God is natural men's ability. Amen. You can't just speak a tongue. Let me tell you, if you just try to do it and there's nothing backing you, you're just going to do it and think, oh my gosh, what was that? Come on. There's a lot of times where the Holy Spirit comes on us and you don't know what to do. There's people in this room right now that have felt this exact way. I think I have something to say. I don't know what to say. Everybody else is saying something, but I have to do something. What God is wanting to do is he's wanting a spiritual gift to come out of you. I don't know what that spiritual gift is in you. God will show you. God will speak to you. But it will come out of you. And guess what? It's for the profit of all. So many of us are holding these down. Some of us are ignorant to it. And many are not being profited by it. See, the body of Christ comes together. We're his bride. And we minister amongst each other, to each other, with each other. If we are just a church that has a great-looking pastor named Darren Frank, and he's the only one ministering... Goodness, you are listening. Are you laughing at me? Honey, come on. If I'm the only one here ministering and everything's pending on me, and it's me and my wife and all the motivational gifts and everything that the Word of God is for me to be here and to speak to you and to teach you and to guide you, there is no man in this world other than Jesus that could have ever done that. I'm a part of this body. And me knowing that I'm a part of this body and speaking this message today where our spiritual gifts can be stirred, the reason why is because it will benefit us and it will benefit our city. Amen. Praise God. Brother Rudy went to preach at Carol Vance this morning at probably 8 a.m. Brother Daryl Brooks is out of prison this afternoon at 2. I'm not able to go to those prisons right now at that time, but Brother Rudy going is us going with him, for him, and he's able to go out and minister, amen? And it feels like today as I was praying for Brother Rudy that I was actually there. See, God brings a body together, and as the body's here, we can go out and we can do greater things than we do trying to be all together. Spiritual gifts is very, very important in this hour. Three categories of the gifts, just quickly. The first three say something, three of them do something, and three of them reveal something. And we'll look at it here in a minute. The three gifts that say something are the gifts of utterance. They are these: prophecy, diverse kinds of tongues, and inspiration of tongues, interpretation of tongues. Now, that's what we saw this morning. Let me tell you this. The church in Corinth here, Corinthians, every person in the church already had baptism of fire. Every one of them already have a prayer language of speaking in tongues. And so Paul was speaking to a whole group of people that already received the baptism of the Holy Spirit. When it was says, do all of us speak in tongues? It was not the same tongue of the evidence of the Holy Spirit. It was the tongue that came this morning, a prophetic tongue that comes to the body that God is speaking. You know, God is using, God is speaking, and he has to interpret to us what he's saying. How can we? Have you ever thought this? How in the world can I put in words something God is trying to say? So many times, even in the King James Version, that if we look back in the Greek and we look back in the Hebrew, you would not believe the understanding that we get that we never had because it's not explained how it was explained or how it was written. Words are just words, and we have to be hungry. That's why it's important to have the Holy Spirit where he can interpret to us what he's trying to say. Amen? Shortest book of the Bible, shortest scripture of the Bible, Jesus wept. The reason why I know that, because we used to do a lot of Bible memorization, and that was one. I got one, Jesus wept, John 11:35. I think that in those days, we would have kids that had up to 50 scriptures memorized. Where have those days gone? I praise God for a Christian school here that are having kids memorize scriptures, but if we talk to the children's ministries, or the youth ministries, what they're going to say, we don't have enough time. Because we just have 30 minutes. See, it's not up to those guys to put scriptures into our kids. It's up to us. Amen. Come on. Amen. It's up to us. It's for them to come into 30 minutes that they come and encourage them and bring knowledge to what God is doing in them. But it's us, them sitting around our table. Amen. Do we even have a table anymore? Me and my wife had to get a big table with big, big. I like that song that the Newsboys sing. The word says to instruct our children. Come on. It's important in this hour. Spiritual gifts. Are you getting anything today? So I wanted to bring to your understanding today the difference between being filled with the Holy Spirit and speaking in tongues, with the evidence of speaking in tongues, which what that is, it's power, it's dunamis power that comes on the inside of you that just blows out. And it blows out for the first time, and then I can speak in that tongue anytime. I was telling someone, and I praise God, I was able to talk to many of you this week. I was excited. When I received the baptism of the Holy Spirit with the evidence of speaking in tongues, it was probably the 10th time that I got prayed for. It wasn't that it wasn't there for me. It's that I didn't really believe it. It was my mind was too making it too difficult. And so for the 10th time, and you know, if you've went up one time and you didn't receive it, it's hard to go back again, you know. You're already kind of thinking, goodness, I didn't get it the first time. Why am I going to? And now how about the 10th time? The 10th time is that this is just not for me. I'm leaving this church and finding a church that nobody speaks in tongues. But there was a hunger that was stirring in me. And I said, if it's for them, it's for me. So I go up there again. And the pastor's saying, now you have to come, just like I said a while ago, and you have to believe that you're going to receive this. It's by faith you're going to receive. And I'm like believing with everything I have. And so they're going. And I have two people on the sides of me. And I don't know why this happened, but they're praying gift of speaking in tongues. It's like, man, my mind's thinking, that's Chinese. That's Japanese. I'm like, these guys are amazing. I can't believe this. So the pastor prays for this lady right by me. And boy, her tongue just like, I'm thinking, man, that's beautiful. You know, I'm like, he's fixing to get me. And what he does is he goes around me and I'm thinking, oh my gosh, he knows I can't even get it. The person next to me on this other side receives it and he goes. And you know how people are starting to sit down and I'm still there just like this thinking, should I turn around and go sit down? And he comes to me and he says, okay, today this has been very difficult for you. It was a man that didn't even know me, but I'm here to tell you, you will receive today. And I'm telling you, there was something that leaped in me. Because you know, we are created with rejection. We feel like that it's for everybody else, but not for us. We feel that we're not good enough for something. And that's a lie of the enemy. It comes from the pit of hell. We are God's son and we are God's daughter. Everything that he has for us, he has for us. And it's ours and it's freely given that we can boldly stand in his throne room, boldly stand and say, I'm here to receive. So he prays for me. And I'm feeling it right here. I mean, and it was not hunger pains. It was not rumbling from beans and rice. It was something. I remember feeling some of that when I received Christ as my Savior. And I had faith to receive, and I knew that he came into me. I knew that day my life was changed. I knew that what the cross was that day. This was a different day, but I was knowing something was happening. I knew that God was surrounding me. I could feel him. I could smell him. I could taste him. And the guy says, now I just want you to open your mouth because I told you last Sunday, my mouth was so tight. It was like, I'm not going to fake this. Come on. Sometimes I pray for some of you and you're like this. You're not going to make me fall down. I know. I know. I mean, getting up there and you got braced. You know, like, I don't need y'all back here. I got this. That's how it kind of was. My mouth was braced. It was tight. Because my thoughts, and it was a good thought, was I'm not going to fake this. God, if you're going to do it, you're going to pop my mouth open. You're going to break it open and it's going to be used. And the guy says, son, I want you to open your mouth. And I'm like, ah. And I open it up. And I spoke one syllable. God, why did she have Japanese? Why did she have Chinese? Why is all this going on and all I have is ba? I was so embarrassed with my ba. But I'm here to tell you, on that day, I received the baptism of the Holy Spirit with the evidence of speaking in tongues. It was one syllable, but I hung on to that one syllable. And I'm telling you, when I would go out and when I would not have anything or I would not have boldness, just right after that, Brother Doug Stringer was in our pulpit not too long ago. Right after I received that, I was on the streets of Montrose with him on a Friday night, and I was scared to death. He's there and we're gathering and boy, he's getting our hands and we're doing this. Let's go. And I'm off with someone and there's all kinds of this and all kinds of that. And I'm like, there's no way I can do anything here. I am scared. And on the inside of me, bah, came out. And I'm here to tell you, you would not believe what happened to me that day. You wouldn't believe the power that came. It was a dynamite power. It was something that exploded on the inside of me. I was able to see three people come to Christ. There was no way on earth, if I didn't have this ba in me, that I would ever even have talked on that day. Now, I know I'm laughing with this and joking with this, but I'm here to tell you, this is a gift that's freely given by God. That the enemy would love to wrap up your thoughts with this. He would love you to say, this is not from you, but this is not for you. But this is for you. This is the word of God. This is what it speaks all over the book of Acts. It's for us. It's what Jesus even said. I'm going to leave and I'm going to go and a comforter is going to come to you. And it's going to come like a rushing wind that's going to shake a room. And when that wind came into that room for the first time, 120 people with the evidence of speaking in tongues, every one of them bursted out with a tongue. And they would say, it's only noontime. Are these people crazy? Are they drunk? No, the evidence of the Holy Spirit has just come in, and there's something going on in that room. They went out of that room, and thousands and thousands and thousands and thousands, and still today, thousands of people are coming to Christ because of the power that's on the inside of us. Do you believe? Amen. I want to just close today. If the worship team can come up. My agenda is not just to get everybody baptized in the Holy Spirit. My heart, though, is that everybody would receive. Wanted to show you today, and hopefully I've answered some of your questions about what went on in the Corinth church, 1 Corinthians, where they speak about this tongue that's in the church, in the public body of the church. Next Sunday, as you come, you're going to hear Del Gentry, and Del Gentry is going to be speaking in a tongue. And most of that tongue is going to be a prayer tongue. He's going to walk up and down this pulpit, and you're going to hear his tongue in worship. You're going to hear him. And then he's going to maybe then come to you or come to me, and he's going to speak a prophetic voice. Now, that tongue that he's speaking on is given to all of us. It's a prayer language. It's a prayer. It's a connection with God. Right now, I can come right now, and I can connect with God, and I can speak right now in his prayers, his desires, his wants. I get into situations every day. Today I have something, and my mind cannot comprehend it. I can't understand it. God does not want me to comprehend it or understand it. He doesn't want my words to go into it. He wants his words to go into it. And the only way that I can do that is to connect with him on high. And I connect with him using the prayer language that started off, ba. I got a few more syllables now. I've been in it for a while. It's in my first rodeo, like someone else said. I'm not here, though, to push it or to press it. There's a hunger that's going to come in this church. It's going to be a spiritual hunger. It's going to start off by seeing cancer being reversed. It's going to start off, you know, when I prayed for the little boy, and it wasn't about me praying. Anybody that would have prayed for him on that Wednesday night, he was ready to be healed that night. If anybody would have touched him in the name of Jesus, they would have been healed. God said he is healed of a heart murmur, and he's healed of asthma now. And I went over and I said to my wife, watch, he's healed. You know, I have to tell you, no, I'm not batting 1,000. There's some people I pray for and they don't get healed. But it doesn't stop me from going to the next one. I don't have the understanding. Maybe they are being healed. I don't know. Maybe it's not right now. Maybe it's in God's timing. Come on. But God says for me to believe and that they will be healed. But it's going to start with seeing healing. Demonstration of his power. It's going to start by hearing testimonies of people that have been giving for this, and God is blessing them and blessing them. It's going to start by hearing people getting saved in their family. It's going to start. The spiritual hunger is going to start by the word of their testimony. And you're going to sit here and you're going to think, God, is that also for me? And you're going to hear this pastor say, it is for you. It is for you. It's for you. It's for every person that God created. He has good for us. He has so much for us, and we're so limited in our thinking and our ways that we have to say, God, I give myself to you. God, I can't even think of those things. I can't even do those things. God, I give it to you.
Thanks for listening to today's podcast. We pray you were encouraged and would love to hear from you. For more information on Church of Living Waters, check out colw.info.